Saints, this is Gene. Good evening. And blessed to all of you, beloved brothers and beloved sisters. This is going to be a moment about Galatians chapter 6. This is what I would like to talk with you about, and that is finding those passages in Galatians that have something of the weight of glory in them, something of the eternal, perhaps something of the downright mysterious, or in other words, things which do not make sense. To not be quick to run over a passage like the very formidable, I have been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet it's not I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God. So easily to step, to go right past that, but to realize that passage doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And while Paul was in Galatia, he some way managed to communicate to God's people a sense of another kind of time, another kind of place, wiser, better, a timeless place, perhaps even a place that could move because Jesus was crucified just outside Jerusalem, but Paul was not there. And yet that moment can move. Or there is something about Paul of Tarsus that can move. And that there is a way that God the Father can actually put Jesus Christ in you, and you can be placed in Christ even while he's hanging from the tree, and that you're living every day is Christ, not you. Now, those have passages in other parts of Galatians, and we're not even admitting yet to that there are books of the New Testament. But we have three places in Galatians chapter 6, which quite frankly it's a goodbye chapter. It's sum it all up, catch the little things I meant to say along the way. It's the miscellaneous chapter. Please write down, and I will then read three passages. Galatians, page 6, line 8. That is Galatians 6, verse 8. And I'll read it. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap the flesh, the corruption. Nothing eternal here, nothing spiritual. And the passage starts right here. So we'll call it Galatians 8b. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. There is a possibility for you, for the church, and we keep coming back to this. This is a plural. It's a body of believers, and boy, that sure makes it a lot easier. But the one, an individual, but one, also the church, who sows to the Spirit. takes your seeds and throw them at the Spirit, in the Spirit, to the Spirit, will reap eternal life, which flows from the Spirit. I said to you that every time you ever, for as long as you live on this earth, see the word Spirit, stop and consider that this is in fact a statement that belongs to the other creation, to the realm that's invisible, to the realm that cannot be seen. So I'm going to read that a little bit more. To you who sows to another life form than human flesh or human being, but will sow to a wind, a breath, which has come to this realm from another realm, and the biological makeup of that other spirit is God Himself. Here you are, here I am, in a physical, dimensional world, with something that is not dimensional, not visible, not physical, to which we can sow. Well, Gene, how do you do that? It's really simple. Know that you got a no spirit in here, and it's yours. God's people will go to meetings, go to Bible schools, go to colleges, even pray and read their Bible. But often, and I'm being gracious here, not take a moment to find their spirit. You can take your spirit and sow to His Spirit. He's got a life form that is God. And you've got a life form in you that does not belong to this realm. That life form is the highest form of life there is. Not the herb, not the fish of the sea, not the bird. I'm going up the biological chain. Not the cattle, not human life, not even angel life, messengers from the other realm who are spirit. But at the top of that biological chart is the life that God lives by. So to your spirit is a highest life form. That is, His Spirit is your highest life form, and you have a spirit to match His. I remember the first time very well when I said to a group of people, I'll repeat it, it takes a little time, but that's all it takes. And what grows up, reap that which grew up. They will reap the life form of God, the life form God lives by when it gets up in the morning. so to your spirit, with your spirit is that other form of life, so to it. Join, it's just that simple, join spirit, spirit. And what will come up out of that will not be human life or angel life, but the life God lives by. And these people knew all this. And these are some of the things that Paul and Barnabas had told these people while he was among them. All we need to do this is hear this every day of our lives. 14. But may it never be that I, Paul, would boast, period. Except in the cross of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through that cross, that the world has been crucified, and I have been crucified to that world. I'm going to guess there are about 14, maybe 15 times in Paul's writings that we're told of things that were crucified, put to death, destroyed, while Christ was hanging on that cross, boast in that cross. About 14 or 15 things. Go through your New Testament chronologically and carefully, like we're doing right now. You'll find some of the crucified elements. The entire creation, the first creation, crucified and done away with. Adam, done away with. Principalities and powers, crucified. Death, crucified. You, as Paul states very clearly. And not only are you crucified, but you're no longer there. You've been put to death and the world looks for you. Can't find you. And you look for the world and you cannot find the world. Saints, put it deep inside of you. The world's dead. You know that beautiful illustration that is so often given to this. When Israel went through that water and it closed up on the Egyptians, they turned around, God's people, and couldn't see the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, who did not get swallowed up when the waters closed in, couldn't find Israel, could not find God's people, both in each case. Died to the other. Do you know, with all my heart, I don't think I can make use of that fact unless I'm in the church. And I have one beautiful memory of a brother who came into a meeting and he had had a hard day and he was expressing it. And I suppose the world had turned very much on him. And he began to exhort himself. And then he began to exhort us that the world didn't even exist. And that can't find him. And then went on to say, I can't find the world either because it's been crucified. By the time he got through, it wasn't he who was rejoicing or exhorting, but every person in that room was exhorting and exhorting one another. And for that beautiful moment in our spirits, we knew the world is the least important thing on this earth to us. And we're the least important thing on this earth to the world. To come to that cross and look at the things which are dead and revel in them. And not one of these makes sense. This is, again, the ravings of a madman. What do you mean the world's been destroyed? What do you mean the principalities and powers have been destroyed? But the list goes on. You have been destroyed. And the destruction has fallen on this planet, upon you, and upon me. And there is nothing left but a new creation, for all else was crucified. Therefore, boast in that cross, and all, not just the world, but all the things which have been crucified. I have a notebook on my shelf. It should read, but let me tell you what it does read. What came out of the tomb? It all should read what stayed in that tomb. What stayed in that tomb was Lucifer, Adam's race, and Adam, some little old thing called sin and sins. And God in heaven loosed the tongue of the body of Christ to boast in these things which the cross has nullified. And in the eyes of God, no longer exists. What came out of that tomb? I'm telling you, if I had the eyes to see as God sees, there would nothing be in this new creation and a tomb, but an open door, stone rolled away. Nothing but that tomb. Nothing but that tomb. And what would come out of it? A young couple holding hands, magnificently and wondrously in love with one another, is about the only thing that came out of that tomb. Perfection, righteousness, and holiness that not only matches the righteousness of God, but is the righteousness of God. A new creation, a girl and a boy who are the new creation. And we're all in her, and she's in him, and he's in her. Therefore, we're in her, and we're in him, and he is in her, and she is in him, and we're in him, and we are in her. The last, line number 18. This is the only book ever written, period. We haven't gotten to the second one. But hold on to this. Grace. 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 Grace upon grace. And grace upon grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Put his grace and your spirit together. Let the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be permanently with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Grace be with it. And yes, you can slip into your spirit. And having slipped into your spirit, take grace as there is the only thing that exists in your relationship with all others. I would simply close by saying circumcision and uncircumcision won't do one bit of good, but the fact that you are a people who are a new species on this earth, that's all that counts. May that spirit which dwells in you and comes from another realm where there is no past nor future, nor beginning nor end nor present, but has all things that are new, are real, be the content of your spirit. Amen.